Scouting out of the blue corner. He gives you your football meat and potatoes style and is the undisputed king of detailed player analysis. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Steve the Scout.
Hey guys, this is Steve the Scout. I am the voice of the Pro Football Scouting Podcast. It is Friday, November 16th. Welcome to my Week 11 preview show where I break down all the action coming up for you this weekend as well as Thursday Night Football and breaking down what I saw on the tape last night. Today, going to be focusing on last night's game between Seattle and Green Bay, which took place in Seattle at CenturyLink Field. A couple quick announcements. Really excited for the launch of Pigskin Nut about a week and a half away. Pigskin Nut is an all-in-one hardcore football news website where we have coverage for all 32 NFL teams with individual team writers focusing on pregame, postgame, urgent team news, as well as team analysis, fantasy football writers, as well as coverage on every single major college football conference, the NFL draft, and a section where we actually dedicate scouting reports to both NFL and college players. Excited about that. If you want to be considered, send a two to three paragraph article might be a bit much, but a 2-3 paragraph article to stevethescout81@gmail.com. You can write about anything. I would just say make what you're writing about pack a punch. You don't have to write a lot, but make sure when you write, you know, you talk about things in detail. You hear about how I'm going to talk about some of the players today. Starting off first with the Seattle-Green Bay game, just think about a way to elaborate on a player instead of just saying he played good. So other announcements, the show is now 6 days a week. The only day that I don't have a show is Monday, and that's so you can catch up with all the action that happened over the weekend. 6 days a week trying to make these shows more digestible, most of them being a little bit shorter, but today's show being a preview show will run a little bit longer. Welcoming advertisers onto the show, we have PayJunction and SeatGeek that are both signed up with advertisers to be advertising with us in the future. If you want advertising rates, our show is distributed and is listened to by between 3,500 to 4,500 listeners each week and growing. For advertising rates, you can send it to stevethescout81@gmail.com. As we grow, obviously those rates will increase, but definitely send an email my way and I can talk to you about what that'll look like for you. Starting things out by talking about what happened last night between the Packers and the Seahawks at CenturyLink Field. Seahawks won this game 27-24. Russell Wilson threw a touchdown pass to his tight end, Mr. Ed Dixon, to cap things off. Looking at what Seattle did well last night and kind of tracking them. Game started off bad for them. Chris Carson, I think it was actually the first play from scrimmage, had a major fumble, but he coughed the ball up. Clay Matthews knocked it out, but he came back. Chris Carson and he had a strong game, was very productive for them, and was a big impact player for them, despite that early fumble. Rashad Penny, their first-round running back from San Diego State, showed again why he was a first-round pick. What I liked about him coming out of college is he ran hard, had a great feel for lane development, maybe as good of a feel for lane development as any running back in the draft. Saquon Barkley might be the most talented running back already in the league. He has a great feel for lane development, but he's still improving with that. I think when you talk about just feel for lane development, you can make the case that Rashad Penny was the best in the draft last year. Not the player that Saquon Barkley is, but just tremendous vision. Rashad Penny, running back from a small school, San Diego State. He is short-strided, but man, his feet move really fast. And Seattle deserves a lot of credit as a team. They have these running backs. Last night, they averaged over 5 yards a carry. And I don't know what they've been averaging for the year, but I'd imagine it's been one of the top yards per carry average in the week, because I know every single week I'm always talking about how many yards that they're averaging, so it'd be good for me to take a look at that. But it's running back by committee. They're making things work there. Chris Carson, Rashad Penny. They're going to get C.J. Procise involved, I think, pretty soon. Really going to give them a three-headed monster. He's healthy. So they really have guys that are doing very well at running back. And not only that, they are getting good play out of their offensive line, better than what we've seen in years past. That has been the running game and the offensive line has been the biggest improvement for Seattle this year. Russell Wilson, statistically this year, he has been incredible against the blitz. From the tape that I've watched this year, I don't know if I've watched any quarterback that has been so good at picking up the blitz and getting the ball out of his hand against the blitz as much as Russell Wilson has. I thought offensively, the star player for Seattle really was Tyler Lockett. He had 5 catches for 71 yards. It's just his catches came at critical times, and without him, they would not have won that game last night. The game-winning touchdown was actually set up by a big play by Tyler Lockett. So I thought his 5 catches and 71 yards, he came up big in key situations. I thought he was their key player on offense. But Russell Wilson, Tyler Lockett, and all those running backs did exceptionally well on defense. I was actually for the Scouting Academy, where I go to hone my craft of scouting NFL and college players. Right now, the player that I am tasked to evaluate is Seattle Seahawks nickel cornerback Justin Coleman. And as I've been watching Justin Coleman, I'm watching 5 games of his tape last year and a couple games this year. So about 7 games in total. That I'm watching. And when I'm watching Justin Coleman, I'm noticing, who the hell is this number 55 that I keep seeing? He is jumping off the screen. He is using great hand technique. He's getting to the quarterback quickly, stifling. You know, I watched him against Rams tackle Rob Havenstein last year, a game from last year. He's been one of the best tackles this year, and he did a number on him. He sets the edge. And when I went to actually look at Kenny Clark's stats, I see that he's already got 10 sacks for the year. But when I watched the tape of just another Seattle Seahawks player, their cornerback, the main thing I noticed was number 55, Kenny Clark, jumping off the screen. Watching him, he is great at winning the hand battles, good leverage, can bend around the edge. A lot to like about him. And again, looked at him this year. He's got 10 sacks already this year. Definitely, I think, the best pass rusher that Seattle has. On defense, Bobby Wagner had another huge night. He's always solid because of his sideline-to-sideline range and his coverage ability. Last night, I actually saw him go downfield and travel with Packers' number one wideout, Devontae Adams, for 50 yards and break up a pass. Bobby Wagner is special. The Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers, he is the best pure thrower of the football. I think Patrick Mahomes can compete with him now in arm strength, but when you want to look at the best pure passer, I still think it's Aaron Rodgers. No one delivers a prettier ball than him. You look at his first big pass downfield. His touchdown pass to Robert Tonyan was one of the nicest passes I've seen made by a quarterback all year round. Had a beautiful pass to Devontae Adams. And I gotta say that when you look at, again, just a pure passer, I don't know if anyone can really match Aaron Rodgers. Mahomes, you know, he might have him beat maybe a little bit on outside the pocket throws this year, but still, Aaron Rodgers is the best. Kyle Fackrell, 3 sacks this year. And just to elaborate, I think Drew Brees is the best pure quarterback when you look at bringing everything together, but Aaron Rodgers still is the best pure thrower. Kyle Fackrell had 3 sacks last night for Green Bay, but not only did he have 3 sacks, he was getting pressure all night. Kenny Clark, defensive tackle for the Green Bay Packers, he only had a couple tackles last night, but you can't look at stats. He was a space eater last night, doing a lot of dirty work and actually funneling a lot of plays to his teammates. So big play by Kenny Clark, the Green Bay Packers defensive tackle. Green Bay, it was a close game. One of the reasons that they lost was inconsistent separation. The receivers weren't always getting the separation they need. They didn't always convert on third down, and they didn't have the best game management at times. So that made the difference. Seattle Seahawks win this one 27-24. All right, getting into Sunday's action, breaking that down. First game I'm going to preview is going to be the New York Giants hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Jason Pierre-Paul is returning for this game. Played with the Giants his whole career until they let him go and became a Buccaneer in the offseason. Buccaneers have not had a great pass rush this year. It's been documented quite a bit, but one of their bright spots really has been Jason Pierre-Paul. I believe a lot of people thought after the hand injury and him just not being his former dominant self that he was going to be, you know, washed up permanently. But if you look at him this year, he's having a hell of a year. He's already almost at double-digit sacks. He's getting a lot of QB pressures. And he said he's very motivated to play this game, as you imagine he is. Dave Gettleman just gave him a phone call to let him know he is being cut. I think just with his contributions to the team, he sounded like he definitely wanted to hear from the owners and have some other people reach out to him. Didn't like the way he was released, and he's quite motivated to play in this game. You look at Jason Pierre-Paul, he's been a menace all year on a team and a defensive line that really hasn't generated a whole lot of pressure. Looking at the Bucs, breaking down what they need to do to win the game, again, I think it's a toss-up, and a lot of this toss-up comes down to how does Ryan Fitzpatrick play? We've seen a poor man's Brett Favre, and we've seen a poor man's Jay Cutler. The poor man's Brett Favre can win football games. The poor man's Jay Cutler, he's a little bit too erratic. But when you've seen that, you know, he's been the poor man's Brett Favre. He's been slinging the ball. He's been in the MVP conversation much earlier in the year. Obviously, he's far removed from that right now. He's always been a very hot and cold quarterback. We'll see which Ryan Fitzpatrick plays on Sunday. Bucs are definitely hampered by not having a running game, not having that much of a pass rush. But as a Giants fan, I'm a little bit concerned that their pass rush may have a coming out party this Sunday. Jason Pierre-Paul is motivated. Gerald McCoy is still dominant. Vita Vea, who's been injured much of the year, he registered his first sack last year, and a guy that I think can be a very good player in the NFL. So they definitely have talent on the defensive line. So they could have a coming out. Tons of weapons to throw to, guys like O.J. Howard having a breakout year, DeSean Jackson, Mike Evans being a top 10 to 15 wideout, no question. So the Bucs, they have some things going, but I think mostly it's going to come down to can they get pressure on Eli Manning? Because if they can, Eli is a terrible quarterback under pressure. Which Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to show up. The New York Giants, they got to focus on protecting Eli Manning. Look, they only won their second game of the season last year, and that's largely because they protected Eli Manning. Guard Jamon Brown has been a welcome addition, played very well last week, and I believe that was the least amount of pressure that Eli saw all year last week. Look, Eli Manning, his variance in play from when he's protected to when he's not protected, the change in his play is more drastic from being protected to being not protected, maybe than any other quarterback I watched in the game. You look at his habits, his demeanor, everything. It just changes so much when he gets protection. A lot of his bad throws, they seem to go away when he's getting protected. I know maybe that's a little bit obvious. Typically, those things happen with quarterbacks, but I think a lot more so with Eli Manning than other quarterbacks, where he really is a top 15 quarterback when he's protected. But when he's not protected, it just drops off quite a bit. So that really depends on that. The Giants defense, they've played discipline this year. I think they've played better than what they have on their roster in terms of talent on paper. But their pass rush definitely needs more help. Lorenzo Carter, their rookie number 59, he's shown that he can create some QB pressures, get to the quarterback. Olivier Vernon, they're going to need him to step up bigger. And that's been one of their biggest issues on defense, is they've not been able to generate a pass rush. They've had some issues in coverage as well. Landon Collins, last week, he got torched by George Kittle. You've really seen a drop-off in Landon Collins' play this year in terms of coverage. Alec Ogletree has also been a liability in coverage. So you got to imagine, with the weapons that the Bucs have on offense, they're going to be trying to target some of those players. And ultimately, this game comes down to protecting Eli, dealing with the Buccaneers' weapons, turnovers, obviously. This one's a toss-up, but those are going to be the key factors for this game on Sunday. Next up, the Tennessee Titans travel to Indianapolis to take on the Colts. This, to me, is an exciting one because both of these teams really have started to turn their season around, and they've been winning football games. Indianapolis, how they've been doing it, their offensive line is finally starting to block for Andrew Luck. They're getting protection. They have three or four really stellar offensive linemen playing on that unit this year. Indianapolis, earlier in the year, the receivers struggled to get separation, really except T.Y. Hilton. What you've seen lately them do is they've been utilizing a three-headed monster at the tight end position. Most notably, you're seeing Eric Ebron breaking out. I think he's had more touchdowns already this year than he's had in any season. And you're seeing their other tight end, Jack Doyle, who's really been one of the best blocking tight ends in the NFL this year. They're finding creative ways to get those guys the football, and that's been a big reason for their success. You look at Tennessee, what's turned things around for them? Tennessee has gotten better because Marcus Mariota's playing better. He's more removed from that hand injury. You're seeing Corey Davis really start to break out, and they're getting to the quarterback. You saw Tom Brady go against some good defenses this year, but no one stifled them the way that Tennessee did last week. How did they do it? They dialed up a lot of creative blitz packages on third down, making Brady only going 3 for 15. They got rookie linebacker Rashawn Evans. He was all over the field when he was on the field. Harold Landry from Boston College, their rookie. A lot of length, a lot of talent. I think he's going to be a stellar edge rusher for them. And they still have Brian Arakpo, and I think the best player on their defense is Jarrell Casey. I know Aaron Donald, Fletcher Cox, Geno Atkins, these guys get a lot of credit, but Jarrell Casey is one of the most disruptive defensive linemen in the NFL, no question. So looking at this game, I think the keys are going to be, can the Colts protect Andrew Luck? Because that offensive line is playing good, but that pass rush of Tennessee is coming on strong. I'm going to also want to see, can Tennessee really start to get this run game going? They've been missing that this year. If they can do that and get to Andrew Luck, I think they'll have a chance on Sunday. Next up, Pittsburgh is traveling to Jacksonville to take on the Jaguars, Jaguars being at home. I look at this game. It's an interesting matchup because you're seeing a very talented secondary go against a team that really has two number one wide receivers in Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster. The Jaguars, they're just really having a hard time finding their identity this year. Last year, their identity was run the football with Leonard Fournette and beat you with their defense. Their defense is on the field a lot more this year than they were last year. They can't sustain drives, so I think it's causing their defense to play a bit uninspired at times. Outside of Calais Campbell and Yannick Ngakoue, they're not getting too much help on that defensive line right now. But yeah, I'm going to want to see this matchup because you got Juju Smith-Schuster, Antonio Brown going against Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Bouye, Deshaun Gibson being a good safety as well. So I think if the Jaguars are going to win this game, they're going to have to, now that Leonard Fournette is back, they're going to have to find a way to get him going because if they can't get him or Carlos Hyde or any of these running backs really going, they just can't win football games right now because Blake Bortles, not the answer at quarterback, but you know if they can get that going, it'll certainly help them out. Because I mean, they've shown you when Leonard Fournette is healthy, he's running the rock and they can sustain drives. This is a good football team, but I think really the key for them right now is getting that run game going. And I do think in the offseason they'll probably may want to look at another quarterback if possible because they just have too much talent on that team to be where they are right now. Pittsburgh, they're just playing better and better as the year goes along. Ben Roethlisberger still playing a great brand of football. Two number one wide receivers, a defense that's getting after the quarterback. And what you got to like about Pittsburgh more than anything else, I think that makes them hum, is their offensive line and their run game. James Conner, one of the leading rushers in the NFL this year, he's being aided by a Pittsburgh offensive line, but the Pittsburgh offensive line is being aided by James Conner, who's playing having a very good season, playing a punishing style of football, doing all the small things right, finding good vision, having a good feel for lane development, lowering his shoulder, and just, you know, maximizing each running play. So I like Pittsburgh in this one, but Jacksonville, they do have a chance if they can get their run game going and slow down this offense and keep them off the field more often. Next up, the Panthers travel to the Motor City to take on the Detroit Lions. This game comes down to which running back is going to be more productive for their team, because Carolina, you look at them running the ball. When Cam Newton's running the ball and they're utilizing Christian McCaffrey, which I think the matchups certainly do favor him against this Detroit Lions defense, the Panthers have been a really good football team. The Lions, they've been able to win games when they've gotten their running back, Kerryon Johnson, going. You saw last week, they weren't giving him the rock nearly as much, and he wasn't getting going. But when they do have Kerryon Johnson break out and get 100 yards on the ground, the Detroit Lions can win games. I think the Lions are going to be hurt a little bit by, they're a little banged up in their offensive line. TJ Lang is out. I think ultimately, you look at Carolina going against this offensive line, they're going to win that matchup. They're going to win in the trenches. I think that Christian McCaffrey is going to match up well in the screen game. Cam Newton's going to get more involved as a rusher, not just a thrower, but also a rusher, and be the physical Cam that we've seen. Because of those things, I think Carolina's going to win. But if Detroit wants to win, they got to get Kerryon Johnson going and have him have a big game. Next up, America's team, and God, as a Giants fan, I hate saying that. America's team, the Dallas Cowboys, they are going to travel to the ATL to take on the Atlanta Falcons. Interesting matchup here. You look at the Cowboys last week after bringing Amari Cooper in. Just based on what you saw last week, he helped the offense that much that he really was worth a first round pick. Dak Prescott played good football last year. I think the keys for Dallas is going to be, can Dak keep up his play, keep feeding Amari Cooper the ball, and also, you know, if you have Zeke involved like you did last week, it's a recipe for success. Dallas also has a really good up-and-coming defense. I said before the year started, Dallas's defense will be a major surprise because they have a lot of good players. They have good players in that defensive line, edge rushers. They have DeMarcus Lawrence. We all know that what he did last year. Randy Gregory, I've seen him do a number on some very good left tackles in the NFL, including two games where I've seen him dominate Jason Peters. And then when you look at the linebacker, Sean Lee is injured, but I was big on Leighton Van Der Esch because he has tremendous range all over the field. And then Jalen Smith, really, you know, having getting back into really being healthy. When Jalen Smith, one of their middle linebackers, was drafted, came into the league with a knee issue, couldn't play his first year, but really, I thought when you looked at talent in the draft, he was one of the best players, and now becoming a very good player for this defense. You look at their linebackers, their pass rush. Dallas Cowboys cornerback Byron Jones this year has been one of the best cornerbacks in the league. I'm going to want to see the matchup between him and Julio Jones. So Dallas has a chance to win this game if they can get Zeke involved. And they can also have Amari Cooper have another good game and feed him the ball. But they are going to have a tough task going against Atlanta. Atlanta never this year have they really had an issue putting up points. They have weapons from Calvin Ridley to Julio Jones to Austin Hooper. But I'm going to really want to see that matchup between Byron Jones and Julio Jones. I think this game is a toss-up. Both of these teams are 4-5. Both, Dallas sports a very good defense. Atlanta sports a very good offense. I think if Atlanta's going to want to win this game, you're going to need to see a better defense show up. Now that Deion Jones is back and healthy, that's going to help them quite a bit. Hopefully for Atlanta, it can make the difference, but we'll see on Sunday. The Jungle travels to Mobtown this week when the Cincinnati Bengals take on their division rival, the Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore, I said this before, and I'll say it again. I think what has hurt them this year is lack of a running game. This team needs to look at getting a good running back for next year. If they had that, their defense would be able to stay on the field longer, and that defense that has been one of the best in the NFL this year, I think would be even better. Joe Flacco is not playing this game. He has a hip injury. Lamar Jackson has not been practicing due to a stomach virus, so that means that RG3 is probably going to be the starting quarterback for Baltimore this weekend. And this is a huge game for RG3 because there are teams in the NFL like the New York Giants and other teams that really need a more mobile and younger quarterback. RG3's issue has been staying healthy and really being able to read coverages at an NFL level. That's been his biggest struggle. But Baltimore, if they cannot get a running game going, I think it could be a long day for them. what the key is going to be for Cincinnati is getting their run game going as well. Because without A.J. Green, Tyler Boyd's going to see a lot more double coverages. So Joe Mixon is going to have to be a factor in this game. If he is, it opens up things for Andy Dalton. Bill Lazor is a creative play caller on offense. That's going to help them a lot. But not having A.J. Green definitely takes away an element because now Tyler Boyd is less effective. Tyler Eifert, good receiving tight end, but really more of a pure blocker. I'm going to want to see what happens, but I think overall I'm going to give the edge to Cincinnati. Next up, we have the Houston Texans traveling to the nation's capital to take on the Washington Redskins. I like Houston in this game for the simple reason Washington is so banged up on that offensive line. No Trent Williams, no Brandon Scherff. A couple other guys are injured as well. So with their best players being on the shelf, I know Morgan Moses had some injury issues as well. Their best offensive linemen are on the shelf. When you look at the fact that J.J. Watt having a great comeback year, Jadeveon Clowney, still one of the most unblockable players in the game, despite not having quite the number of sacks as some of these other players. I like that Texans defensive line too much, and I just don't think that Washington, with all their injuries up front, they're really going to be able to stand a chance against that defensive line. When you look at Houston, there's some other things to be excited about. They've added Demaryius Thomas. I know popular consensus is that Demaryius Thomas is washed up, but I watched a lot of tape on him last year. This guy can still play. I think he's going to be really good, and that offense looked really good last week. And they got DeAndre Hopkins, who can take the top off a defense, Will Fuller. So they just have a lot of weapons there. And for Washington, they have some nice pieces in their secondary. Josh Norman playing his best football in a few years right now. They just added Clinton Dix. But I think, again, because of Washington and those issues they have up front on the offensive line, it's going to be too much to overcome. It's going to make it harder for AP to get going on the ground, keep Alex Smith protected. Also, Washington is hurt by having a lack of good play from their wide receivers this year. I like the Houston Texans in this one. Next up, the Oakland Raiders travel to my home residence, Phoenix, Arizona. Specifically, they're going to be playing in Glendale, Arizona, when Raider Nation visits Phoenix to take on the Arizona Cardinals. Looking at this game, and just first starting out with Cardinals quarterback Josh Rosen, when I evaluate Josh Rosen, I believe he almost looks like to me an Eli Manning 2.0. And I believe that's a good thing because when Eli Manning has been protected, especially earlier in his career, he's been a good quarterback. Josh Rosen, another quarterback, his game, because he's not mobile and he does hold on to the ball for too long at times. I saw that in college quite a bit. His game changes a lot, but if you give him time, he can really pick apart a defense. When you talk about intelligence, naturally coming into the NFL, he was the most advanced of any college quarterback. And when he's been protected this year, he's made some nice throws and he's looked really good. The problem is the Cardinals have one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL. He's been hit as he's been dropping back, and that's really been a big struggle for them. One thing that I like positively from the Cardinals is Byron Leftwich, the former Jaguars quarterback, is now their offensive coordinator. Their offense has looked a lot better since he's come into the mix and taken over as their offensive coordinator, taking the reins from Mike McCoy. The biggest matchup that I'm going to be really interested to see this weekend is going to be Cardinals defensive end edge rusher Chandler Jones going against Raiders left tackle Colton Miller. I think that is going to be a huge part of this game because, if you look at Colton Miller earlier this year, he was actually starting to play well, but his game fell off as the year went on. Chandler Jones, he's been generating a good deal of pressure this year. If he can win that battle, it really could be a long day for Derek Carr because these receivers are not getting downfield. They're also, when you look at big plays downfield, the Raiders are probably the worst team in the NFL this year. But I think a lot of that goes towards the offensive line and these receivers. But ultimately, I think the Cardinals are going to win this game. Right now, their offense is starting to get going. They're not facing as good of a pass rush as they normally are. So I like Arizona winning this game on Sunday. Next up, we have an AFC West matchup between the red-hot Los Angeles Chargers and the visiting Denver Broncos, who will be playing them in Los Angeles. I think this game is going to come down to a few things. And I wouldn't say that, despite their records, that this is a give-me game for the Chargers. Because, like the Chargers, the Broncos can also get things going in the running game. Phillip Lindsay, been one of the best rookie backs this year. He's really helped this offense get going. And even outside of that, they've been able to just run the ball successfully in general this year. You look at the other side of the ball, the Los Angeles Chargers. They have one of the best offensive lines in the game this year. They're getting a good push up front. It's allowing Phillip Rivers to keep defenses off balanced. Melvin Gordon has been one of the best backs in the league. So looking at the battle in the run game, I think both teams will be able to get it going. I think both of these teams are better at rushing the quarterback than they are defending the run. But when you look at that, I'm still going to give the edge to Los Angeles. I think they're getting a better push up front, and I think they have the better back in Melvin Gordon. You look at also one-on-one matchups in the trenches. Again, the Chargers' offensive line is playing very well. So one of the things that's really helping them is, again, the running game that they're having behind Melvin Gordon, the fact that they're blocking up front. Phillip Rivers is getting the ball out of his hand so fast and really able to read defense as well. So he's been kept clean this year. But he's facing two very good pass rushers in Von Miller and Bradley Chubb. Bradley Chubb really coming on strong, looking like one of the best in the game right now. You look at his play over the last few weeks, it's special. And you look at him coming out of college. He was able to beat offensive tackles in a variety of different ways. Had several different pass rush moves, counter moves, great hand usage. He really was, to me, I can't miss prospect coming into the league because athletically he had all the intangibles. He had the work ethic, the demeanor, and the skill set was certainly there without any of the off-the-field stuff. So that's why I was so big on him. It's really starting to pay off for them right now. And you look at another matchup that I think is going to be key in this game. It's going to be the matchup between the Chargers secondary and the Broncos and the Broncos wide receivers. No more Demaryius Thomas, but the Chargers secondary has been really good this year. Desmond King having his best year. Casey Hayward having another outstanding year. Casey Hayward doesn't have an interception this year, but Pro Football Focus, one interesting stat that they showed is he is the best this year in terms of a quarterback's passing percentage when targeting him. So he's been outstanding this year statistically in that category. Derwin James, one of the best rookies in the NFL right now, probably the favorite to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. On the offensive side of the ball for Denver, Courtland Sutton can make some great catches. Emmanuel Sanders is still a good wide receiver, but I do give this edge to the Chargers. I do believe they have the better secondary and they'll match up well. So overall, I think that despite the records, the Broncos will keep this a closer game than people realize, but I think ultimately, when you look at these matchups, I think they favor Los Angeles. The one that really could favor Denver is being able to get after Phillip Rivers, but they've been really good as an offense this year in terms of keeping defenses off guard. So we'll see how that goes. Could be a close one, but my team that I would go with here would be the Los Angeles Chargers. All right, we got football in the Big Easy this Sunday in New Orleans as the Saints play host to the Philadelphia Eagles. And if not for the Minneapolis Miracle last year, this would have been the NFC Championship game. I thought going into the playoffs last year, and really especially after their first playoff win, something actually told me the Saints were good enough to win it all last year. And I really think they had a chance to if they had actually gone to the NFC Championship game. I thought they were capable of beating Philadelphia. And I think what made Philadelphia a stronger force, you know, if we're looking at where they were last year when they won the Super Bowls, they had Jay Ajayi there. They just don't have anyone right now that can carry the rock. But what Philadelphia is starting to be able to do right now is they're really starting to be able to get after the quarterback. I said before this year started that the Eagles have one of the best defensive lines in the NFL, no question. Chris Long, Michael Bennett, Derek Barnett, Fletcher Cox. I mean, they're loaded up there. So that's really starting to come together as a unit, and that defensive line is really starting to be able to get after the quarterback. But Drew Brees has not been sacked many times this year. You know, one of the reasons is that, a couple reasons, he's very efficient in the pocket. They have a good offensive line that Brees is very good at using his offensive line and sliding protection one of the smartest quarterbacks in the game. And Alvin Kamara keeps the defense off guard as well. And I think that's going to be really the difference maker this weekend, is that the Eagles don't have a feature running back and the Saints have one of the best ones in the game. Alvin Kamara is such a valuable running back. If we were redrafting the NFL right now, I made a show this past week, a couple days ago, where I actually did an entire NFL redraft where I only picked 6 quarterbacks and I played the role of acting GM of every team. And with one of those 32 picks, I would have selected Alvin Kamara, because he just changes the game that much. Philadelphia doesn't have someone that can do that. I think that's going to be the difference. But if Philadelphia can find a way to get to Drew Brees, and that defensive line is really starting to click, I think they'll have a chance, because Philadelphia's passing game with Carson Wentz getting more comfortable, the addition of Golden Tate, they're going to be dangerous. But ultimately, I think the Saints win this one, because it's really hard to get to Drew Brees, regardless of how good your pass rush is, and they have a running back named Alvin Kamara. Next up, we have a very critical NFC North matchup that is going to probably go a long way in terms of deciding the division in the NFC North between the Minnesota Vikings and Chicago Bears. You look at these two teams. They're matched up evenly in a lot of ways, and I think for me personally, this is the toughest game to predict all week, because, or definitely one of the two toughest games, because number one, both quarterbacks are seeing the field and playing really good football right now. I did a show last year, and I don't know if it was, or maybe it was earlier this year, but I ranked who I thought, and this is before the season started, so we didn't have the sample size of this season, but I ranked who I thought would be the best 10 quarterbacks of the next 10 years. And I put Trubisky as number one. One of the reasons that I did is when I watched his rookie tape, I don't remember ever seeing a young quarterback in the league that showed me he can throw from so many different platforms and can really make every throw from virtually every angle. He didn't have the big gaudy stats last year, but I saw a lot of upside, and I mean a lot, in Mitch Trubisky last year. Had some struggles this year, but really right now, starting to play good football. He's got a lot of escapability to him. And I think that's an advantage that he's going to have over Kirk Cousins. And Kirk Cousins, the Vikings quarterback, paid him $84 million. He's been worth it. Yeah, he's had good receivers to throw the ball to, but that offense has really run through him all. That offense has really run through him all year. One of the things that helped him take the job away from RG3 in Washington is his ability to read coverages. You watch him play this year, he's been able to pick apart defenses and been a very efficient quarterback. I think the advantage in this game really goes to the Bears, but it's very, very slight for a few reasons. I think the main reason is that the Minnesota Vikings, their defensive front is looking really good right now, and they have a lot of talent up there. But the Bears have been more consistent on defense. The only time the Bears have really struggled getting to the quarterback this year is when Khalil Mack has been hurt. But now that he's healthy and back to his normal self, that is such a difference maker. You examine the backfields of both teams. Dalvin Cook is back for the Minnesota Vikings. Another reason why this is just such an even matchup. But again, alluding to the fact of why I think the Bears will win, you know, the Bears rushing attack is healthier. Dalvin Cook, you know, I don't know exactly how healthy he is, but you know, we'll see this weekend. But the Bears, you know, that rushing attack has had more time to gel. But ultimately, it's something else that's going to make this a very close game, because both teams have good backfields. Both teams can get after the quarterback, and you know, both teams have a pass rush. But ultimately, I think because of Mitch Trubisky's escapability, the Bears' defense, and not only just the Bears' pass rush with Khalil Mack, how good their secondary is playing, I give the slight edge to the Bears, but this one really could go either way. Ending things with the most anticipated game of the year, I believe, or certainly one of the top two or three most anticipated games of the year. The Los Angeles Rams are going to be playing the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs visiting them in LA. And look, we could talk all day that we know both of these offenses are good. We both know they have playmakers. We both know what Jared Goff and Patrick Mahomes are capable of. We all know Todd Gurley and Kareem Hunt. We all know Tyreek Hill and Brandon Cook. So look, it's obvious. These are two high-powered offensive teams. not, you know, if I analyze that, I mean, I'm just telling you stuff that you really already know. But what I think this game really comes down to is the defense. And just comparing those really quick. First of all, just kind of going back to the offense, it's two, the offenses, they're similar in a lot of ways, but I would kind of characterize the Chiefs as having a circus offense where they just win with arm strength and speed. Not that the Rams don't, but the Rams, I believe, play better as a unit on offense. But I do think a game is really going to come down to the defensive side of the ball. For the Rams, what the Rams have been missing this year in terms of their defense, because they've been able to get a push up front, but they really needed someone that could set the edge and get after the quarterback. And they went out and they made a trade for Dante Fowler. And Dante Fowler, in his first game for the Rams last week, remember, this guy was a top five pick just a few years ago. Despite some very costly mistakes last week, early in that game, Dante Fowler had a game-sealing play that helped them win the game and was able to generate pressure. But facing Patrick Mahomes, it's a different story, because Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback outside of the pocket in the NFL as a passer. He's able to extend plays, and he's not going to be a sitting duck. At least not nearly the way that Jared Goff will be. Plus, the Chiefs, like the Rams, they like to use a lot of reverse plays, use their wide outside of the backfield. And but I think for the Rams, if they're going to win on defense, they're gonna need Dante Fowler to have a big game. He's got to set the edge. He's got to contain Mahomes, and he's also got to get after him, because you know, the Rams, they'll definitely be able to pressure from the interior. But it's really going to be harder to do against a quarterback like Mahomes. For the Chiefs, one of their biggest concerns earlier in the year, I think among fans and just people in the league that followed them, was their offense was just simply not matching up to their defense. But their defense is really starting to come on strong right now. They're able to penetrate up front. Dee Ford, their outside linebacker, is having a breakout year. And also Justin Houston is back in the mix, and he's been playing well. As well, and I think because of that, because they have that second edge defender, I think Jared Goff, being the less mobile quarterback, is going to get hit more than Patrick Mahomes will, because he's facing two good edge rushers in Houston and Dee Ford. I think ultimately, you know, it's going to come down to the defensive side of the ball and which defense can make big plays and get after the quarterback. I like the Chiefs in that aspect, but just by a hair. This is going to be a close game, and definitely one of the games that I've been most interested in watching this entire season. And that wraps up everything for today. Join me back tomorrow, because again, episodes are 6 days a week. I'm excited to tell you that Saturday's episode will only be 5 minutes long. Saturday's episode every week will be a scouting profile, scouting a player, could be a college player or an NFL player, but it'll be something short and sweet to give you on Saturday. Being that Friday is the longest episode of the week. If you enjoy this episode and do enjoy the podcast, give us a rate in the Apple Store for iTunes. This is Steve the Scout with the Pro Football Scouting Podcast. I'll be back with you tomorrow to give you that scouting report, and on Sunday night to recap all the action from Sunday. Steve the Scout with the Pro Football Scouting Podcast. I'm out.